It is time now to check in with Penny Rich, who is the new chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners on all things Orange County. Penny, good to have you here in the studio.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty awesome.
How has your holiday been?
Not bad. My son came in, popped in. We were going to hit a movie, but all sold out.
So yeah, right.
Gonna have to wait till next week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
or,
okay.
Or, you know, maybe later on this week
maybe.
Or something. Yeah. I was looking at the, and I'm like, my family would go to see movies on Christmas Day, too. And the first time we went, we had no idea that it was such a thing
it's
for
a
people
thing.
To go.
It's
yeah.
a thing. You know, you should be just
super
us,
packed.
My people. We would go eat Chinese food, right?
Right,
we'd go
right.
to a movie, and now it seems like everybody does
Everybody's
it.
Doing yeah. it. Yeah. Well, you have to, if you celebrate Christmas and then you have like the whole family come mm-hmm. over and you're like crushed with 25 different people,
sure.
by the end of the day, you just want to get out
get
and
out
just
of
sit
house.
In a dark room where you're not allowed to talk to people.
Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah.
That's
like
super
that.
Cool. So,
yeah.
still some things going on in Orange County that are worth mentioning. First of all, this was a couple of days ago, but Owosso sent Orange County officials a report on the water main break that happened. That was in November, right?
Sure,
when that happened?
Yeah.
What's the latest there?
We had met with our Owosso folks soon after, Mark Markopoulos and I, because both of us were on Owosso, and we met with them. And pretty much what they told us then was what Hazen and Sawyer came back with. A 16-inch pipe broke. They couldn't identify it right away because there was so much water coming through. Then when they went to go turn the valves off, they couldn't get the valve off because it broke. And we're not talking about like a valve in your house. We're talking about a huge valve.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have enough equipment to really turn all the valves off. So they had one thing that was helping them turn the valves off, and they couldn't get to all the valves. Lots of water out there. They did say, though, that there was, the pipe was old. It was 80 years old. But they also think there was something structurally wrong with the pipe to begin with. And that's an interesting concept to me, because how do you know, after 80 years that this is structurally deformed?
Right,
I don't
right.
know. So, but I'm glad that they got Hazen and Sawyer to come in and do it, because then, we can understand a little bit better. We don't have the hen in the hen house, and, we have someone else looking into it.
Mm.
So I think there's going to be a review of all the pipes that are, like, 80 years older and above, and start taking some measures to look into what we need to replace and how much it's going to cost. I also think that we talked a little bit more about how to fix the valves. I mean, you got to be able to shut that off.
Yeah.
You know?
How many
work.
Other pipes are like that? Do we know?
We don't, but we know that right where that pipe broke, there were three pipes. So there were two 16s and a 24. And so they didn't know which one it was that broke.
Okay.
So they didn't know which valve to turn
off. So they
off.
Had to shut all of them off.
They
just
had to shut them all
gotcha.
Off. And when they went to shut one of the valves off, it broke. The valve broke. So it was an extended period of time, and it was just, I feel bad for Ed Kerr when things happen. It's like the snowball effect. They just keep happening.
Yeah.
If you remember the fluoride, and then we had a water main break.
Yep.
Unexpected, but it was like a snowball effect, and it just sort of, I don't know why it happens that way, but it does. And everybody's affected by water. So,
mm-hmm.
we heard this, had this outcry, like, what are we going to do? And how do we make this better? And,
Yeah. So how many, what is the age of pipes in Owosso? I mean, there's a lot of older, I don't know about 80-year-old, but
yeah.
close to 80-year-old pipes.
I think that's right. I think
yeah.
there are quite a few that are in that range. I mean, if you think about when Owosso started and when the
mm-hmm.
university owned the water system, right? So we have to go all the way back to that. So I think they're going to, they know where those pipes are. They know where the older pipes are, because we know that what we've been replacing. Because when I was on the Owosso board, that was one of the things that we looked at yearly. What pipes needed to be replaced, what updates have to happen. So now I think they're going to really, look at that a lot more seriously. And, some 80-year-old pipes are just fine.
Yeah.
But,
You never know, right?
You just never
yeah.
know. Yeah.
Speaking
so.
with Penny Rich, OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government. What else is going on in Orange County that people want to know about?
It's interesting. I know that you try to tie your year up, and you start doing year-end things. And I go back and I look at some of the minutes and resolutions and proclamations. And I thought this was kind of interesting. This past year, we passed 75 resolutions. And we passed 14 proclamations. And so people say, well, what's the difference between a resolution and a proclamation?
I was about to ask, yeah.
Yeah, because, it's kind of like one of those things, well, aren't they the same thing? Well, no, not really. So a proclamation is more like, I'll use a good example. Jackie Shelton Green was the poet laureate for the state of North Carolina. we had a proclamation to honor her. Mm. So, you know, what that does is it's just a formal public announcement that we're honoring someone. We do proclamations to honor the sports teams when they win, Chapel Hill High, Harbor High. Resolutions are a little bit stronger. It's a stronger statement. It's a more formal statement. And it's really made to bring attention to things that we feel real strongly about. And so a lot of the resolutions that we do are things that we have to do, like giving tax money back and all that stuff. So part of the 75, I'd say if you take... Yeah, you take a good portion of them, you toss them away. I think you have maybe about 15 that are really, really pretty intense. And, you know, things like, and I'll just name a few, the K-3 class size reduction. Mm-hmm. That was something, that was one of our first resolutions when we came back last year. We hit that up. The offshore exploration, drilling, and seismic blasting. Well, you know, we did that in like February, March. We partnered with the Southern Environmental Law Center to make sure that we were getting all our wording in. And now the President of the United States is saying, oh, no, we could do seismic blasting. So we're going to bring this resolution back. You know, it's something that we felt strongly about then. The opposition of the change of selection of election of judges, we came out pretty good on that. We do the Equal Rights Amendment every year, but here's an interesting one. If you remember, we passed a resolution in favor of Marcy's Law, and then we had to go back and take that back because it was interesting. When it was first introduced to us, it sort of sounded like a pretty good thing, mm-hmm. right? And Mark Dorson, who led that resolution, did a lot of research on that, and it sounded pretty good. But then he did some more research and found out that it's an open book, right? Mm-hmm. It could take all the things that we've done with our deferral courts and toss it out the window. So we had to come back and bring that back. So we had made a resolution against a resolution.
It's interesting. I've heard Charles Blackwood, Orange County Sheriff, talking about the Marcy's Law too, and all of the kind of like the tweaking that's going on a little bit behind the scenes when county sheriff, like not just him, but all 100 county sheriffs are seeing the text of this bill and saying, well, hang on a second, this is putting some impositions on us and our offices that you don't necessarily want to be overburdening sheriff's office across the state as well.
And so, you know, it's interesting. Charles is Sheriff Blackwood is pretty amazing with our deferral courts. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to put people in jail. I mean, you know, there's some sheriffs that are gung-ho and want to put people in jail. Not here. He wants to give people a chance. So he's worked with the courts, and Kate Van Hagen, who is part of the county, who works hard on all our diversionary courts. And, you know, we include the sheriff's office in there to make sure that we're doing this right and we get it down, and also the DA's office. So, yeah, when he started seeing this come back, it was like, yeah, no, this is not what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, one of those resolutions also is the three-day court count. That was about sort of like putting our diversionary systems in jeopardy as well, mm-hmm. and the bail. So those are pretty good. We did the school bond. We supported net neutrality, but that didn't go far apparently because we lost net neutrality in June.
For now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not done fighting on that one. I'm on the national committee in D.C. for technology with the County Commissioners Association. So I'm not done fighting for that.
As wild as 2018 has been politically, one of the things that stands out the most to me, and having, especially for the last 2 years, like I'm to the point now where just nothing surprises me anymore. Like whatever wild headline happens, like, oh yeah, I saw that coming a mile away. But one of the things that surprised me and struck me and stuck with me is I teach American government at Durham Tech.
Yes.
And one of the things that we talk about just sort of to break the ice at the beginning of the semester is, okay, well, what is an issue that you care deeply about? And a surprising percentage of the students this semester said net neutrality. And this
amazing?
Has been the case for the last couple of semesters. And I think that really flies under the radar as a galvanizing issue, especially for younger voters, people who have grown up with the internet. They understand how important the net neutrality issue is and what it means and what it might mean. I think people who are getting excited about politics and really getting engaged, that's an issue that's getting people engaged.
I think you are 100% right. And I think your synopsis of who's paying attention and why is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes as we get older and we think we're wiser, we don't listen to the kids. But they know. know. I mean, my kids talk about net new neutrality all the time. Again, I'm bringing up my kids. It's only been, what, 7 minutes? But, you know, that was one of the things they were talking to me about also. It's like, why would you want to change that? And also, you know, we're still struggling to get broadband out in the county.
Yeah,
struggling.
Yeah.
Like, why is that a thing? You know, I mean, broadband should be a utility. It's clear. But we're fighting, you know, it's an upward battle against these companies.
Yeah, because the people who are making the decisions don't think it's necessary.
Because they don't care.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They can tweet whenever they want. I mean, they don't care about it. But this is good, Aaron. I'm glad that your students are, like, so in tune with this.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they're bringing it to your attention, like, every semester. I think it's, you know,
and I think there's that lag time with broadband, too. And I think it's probably the same with every single new communications technology, I imagine, that comes along. Telephones, televisions, radio, where it gets invented, it gets publicized, people start picking it up, and then within a few years, it starts to hit that critical mass, and then everyone gets to it. But then there's a lag time between everyone having it and people in charge realizing that everyone has it or needs it,
right,
in order to communicate with each other or express themselves or apply for jobs or basic things like that. And I think we're in the middle of that lag time right now. I hope it's not long, but
well, I hope so too, because it does become a social justice issue, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I
mean, really it really does.
You know, it and you think about, like, who was able to have phones and electricity when that started happening. You know, and it wasn't the folks that were out in the rural part of the the country, as well as folks of color. I mean, they couldn't even get credit to get a phone line. So, you know, we're reliving that again with broadband.
How effective are resolutions in general in terms of weighing in and making a difference and moving the dial in conversations?
Yeah. So this is a great question, and people often say, well, you know, why do you do resolutions? And, you know, the simple answer is because we can,
right?
We can bring that topic to the attention of the general public. So here's one that I think we're gonna go back to, and I think you and I are gonna be talking about this throughout the year. It's the one with the Jefferson Davis sort of marker.
Rather. The one on Franklin
I was gonna say
Street,
a statue,
yeah.
But it's a marker. We passed a resolution to get rid of it. You know, we were waiting and we were being calm to see what's gonna happen, but that's going to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, so how effective is it? I think that resolution is going to be effective because I think that mark is going to go away.
Does it become particularly effective when other municipalities
Absolutely.
Start to get on board, so you hit that critical mass of, okay, now everyone's weighing
Absolutely.
In. It's not just one. Yeah.
And something important, when we pass a resolution, we send it to all 100 counties, whether it, you know, whether they want to see it or not, we send it to them, you know, so they know it, their clerks can sift through them and see if it's pertaining to what they're doing or not. But, you know, in general, that we want to make sure that everyone sees what we're doing.
Does that mean you're hearing from other counties as well?
Not as much, but we do hear sometimes, and sometimes it's frightening. And everyone's just like, oh my God.
Are there times when you get a resolution from another county and you think, oh, this is an issue that wasn't on our radar, but now it is?
Yeah, we missed it. So that's what we're talking about, governments doing it together. Well, this was a fun resolution retiring K-9 Lacey. We have Cadney and Lacey.
Yeah.
And Lacey and her handler came up, and because Lacey was owned by the county, we had to pass a resolution to hand over Lacey to her handler to go into retirement. And Lacey had more people come to see the resolution pass than most humans.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it was a packed house.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty funny. And, you know, there was Lacey kind of like looking like, what? You know, what's going on?
Why is everyone excited about this?
Yeah,
this is my everyday.
I'm going to retire now. But that was kind of a fun thing to do. And then the last resolution that we passed before we went into, closed for the year was practices to benefit the pollinators. And we've been trying to work with NCDOT for a really long time, the Commission for the Environment, to not spray, you know, harmful chemicals along the roadways to kill weeds in where, you know, the right-of-ways. So we're going to work with them even more. So this was a resolution because we know that continues to go into where places where we want the pollinators and the bees and everything to be lively. We don't want them to be killed. So that's something that, we're going to keep working on. Commission for the Environment, we'll work on it. So how effective are resolutions? Some of them are 100%. Some of them, you know.
Yeah. But that's the case with just political activity in general. You do it knowing that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then the fight goes on another day.
Right. Doesn't mean you don't bring it up. So
yeah. Speaking with with Penny Rich again, OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government. I want to ask about something that's going to be an issue again in 2019, which is Tim Moore is proposing this the state level state House Speaker $1.9 billion bond for public education.
Right.
Specifically, mostly, and correct me if I'm wrong, for just updates and repair and maintenance and wear and tear. That's probably going on the state budget. Let me just start again. That's going on the ballot. That's the word I'm looking for.
Exactly.
This is why we need to get into 2019 because
quickly.
I'm losing my words. Yeah, it's going on the ballot probably next year. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we got a request from the state NECO commissioners to write a resolution in support of this. Our new representative on the NCACC is Mark Dorson, which is really kind of exciting because Mark is, he likes to challenge things. He's challenging this. He thinks $1.9 billion is far too low. Orange County probably gets around $3 million. That's, we just passed a $120 million bond, and that's half of what we need for our schools. $3 million doesn't get us a whole lot. It makes up for what we lost in our, our fees when we lost the, I'm losing my words, too, but when we, oh, goodness.
impact fees.
Impact fees.
Yes,
oh,
there
yay.
You go. Yeah.
All right, Aaron, good.
that one I had.
That one you had. So that's not a whole lot. So I think what Mark Dorson's going to ask is that we pass a resolution to support a higher bond. The $1.9 million it's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're happy that it's there, but let's talk real numbers. Let's not make the numbers up and pull them out of the air and say this is it. So.
I don't know if this is coming down from the state level, but just, and you mentioned $300 million or so just for upkeep in Orange County.
Orange County, we have $320 million worth of repairs and renovations to make to all our schools.
What's the total statewide? Do we have that number?
I don't. That would be a good number to find out. I told you, Barry Jacobs told me never to quote a number unless I know. And he's a sports guy, so I take his word on that. But I am sure it's probably more than $1.9 billion. If you think about what we are, we're pretty good with our schools,
mm-hmm.
although we've let some of them fall into disarray.
Mm-hmm.
But we had $320 million just in Orange County. Think about like a Wake County or a Charlotte or, counties that have lots of schools. It's gonna be a lot. So, I don't know. We need more money. We got to do this. We got to get back to thinking about how we could protect our schools and our not make children, force them to go to charter schools. So, yeah.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on all of that and more county government related stuff. Penny Rich, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again next year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.